You're listening to Clinicians Roundtable on ReachMD. On this episode, we'll hear from Dr. Bilal Chugtai, who will be discussing minimally invasive treatment for benign prostatic hyperplasia, also known as BPH, and their potential impact on overactive bladder, or OAB. Dr. Chugtai is the chief of urology at Plainview Hospital and an associate professor of urology at the Donald and Barbara Zucker School of Medicine at Hofstra Northwell in New York. Here he is now.
When it comes to minimally invasive therapies for BPH, there's been a slew of new treatments and a bunch of new treatments that are coming down the pipeline. Treatments like ICAN have recently been approved, Optulum has recently been approved, and then we've got a bunch of clinical trials coming on stents as well. I think these treatment options offer men solutions where they're able to preserve ejaculatory function, have a rapid recovery, and have a really good durable outcome. I think this allows men with urinary symptoms to get novel treatments that can accomplish the goals that they're looking for. I think it also helps shift the paradigm, which is that traditionally it's been patients are put on medication, and if they cannot tolerate medication or no longer wish to be on medication, they go on to a minimally invasive therapy. Having these therapies allows patients to really think about, do I want to get into a solution that could solve my problem for a period of time or potentially for a very long time versus being on a lifetime of medication? I think there's also an emerging concept of bladder health, which means that ultimately it seems like the bladder behaves kind of like the heart, where it's got a given number of beats or contractions, and then after that, it kind of teeters out. And earlier intervention likely leads to better outcomes for these patients. Now, we don't have level one evidence for this, but I think we've got a lot of circumstantial evidence and clinical evidence that points in that direction. And with these new therapies, we're able to get patients into a risk-benefit ratio that's very favorable for them and move them to a durable treatment as opposed to a lifetime of medication. There's always been a diagnostic challenge in this space of male LUTs, of figuring out when it's the bladder or the prostate. I think classically as urologists, and I think as physicians as a whole, when it comes to urinary symptoms in men, we always blame the prostate, irrespective of size and shape. And then we secondarily think about the bladder. There's a large emerging concept that essentially men have bladders too, and the bladder can also be the primary cause of dysfunction. Now, when it comes to differentiating symptoms, there's ways to look at it. I think one is that getting a history from a patient can help you figure out if they're complaining more about urgency, frequency. Also, they might describe a pretty strong stream most of the time. On the other hand, patients who've got more obstructive symptoms, you know, weak stream, intermittent stream, dribbling, look more along the lines of obstruction. When it comes to treatment options for male voiding dysfunction, including overactive bladder and BPH, there's a slew of treatment options. I think now what we're seeing is that we have the diagnostics, right? And with the diagnostics, there's ways of doing home uroflow tests, the bladder diary as well. In addition to that, you have the office uroflow, office post-void residual. These things are pointing us in the direction of figuring out from the patient standpoint, what is the goal and what's bothering them the most. A lot of times, if you focus on what the symptom, what the patient's bother is, that allows you to sort of target what the issue is going to be as well. So with men who are predominantly bothered by urgency frequency, I typically try to introduce the overactive bladder pathway at some point and talk about the role of medicines for overactive bladder, like the use of mirabegron, verabegron, and potentially additional treatments like third line therapies as well. For these patients where you've got this diagnostic uncertainty, urodynamics is very helpful to differentiate when to follow which pathway. That test really allows us to understand when you're going to be dealing with predominantly prostate-related conditions or an overactive bladder condition. But I think the introduction of all these novel therapies for enlarged prostate have really allowed us to have more treatments for these men who've got obstruction as their primary problem. Men who have storage symptoms, this can come from either a prostate BPH or it can come from overactive bladder. And when it comes to these storage symptoms, having the plethora of therapies that are available now, it's likely that something's going to sink to a patient and the risk-benefit ratio is going to work for them.
That was Dr. Bilal Chugtai talking about managing benign prostatic hyperplasia with minimally invasive treatments, as well as their possible impacts on overactive bladder. To access this and other episodes in our series, visit Clinicians Roundtable on ReachMD.com, where you can be part of the knowledge. Thanks for listening.